fully at some of these things. Consider with me, first of all, the privilege that she enjoyed. The privilege that she enjoyed. It was what I call an exalted privilege, for she was the queen. Now, she was not born into this situation. I think it was marriage that brought her there. Something like Grace Kelly, who was just an ordinary citizen in Pennsylvania until the king of Morocco said, I want you to be my queen. And overnight, Grace Kelly became Queen Kelly. I think that this is what happened to this girl. How old she was, I do not know. How tall she was, I do not know. One thing I know, she must have been a very beautiful girl. The reason I say this is because the king of Persia only wanted beautiful girls to be his queen. I don't know how the proposal was made to her. I don't know how she became attracted to him or he to her. All I know is that she's introduced to us as the queen, a position that she was elevated to because of her relationship to him. She owned not very many things. Almost everything she owned was owned by him, including she herself. Whatever the king claimed became his possession. Whatever he wanted, he got. Whatever he said, go. And here we have this lady who has been exalted by the edict of the king to become his queen. But she also enjoyed her position. She enjoyed it. She was really one who was given the responsibility of taking care of the women, because in that day, the men would do their celebration on one side and the women would do their celebration on one side. And so she threw a party the same time the king threw his. And I could just imagine what this party was like. Imagine the guests, wives of husbands whose names were known in Persia. People of position, people with social standing. The chefs were the very best that Persia had. The feast was long. Now, there was one thing that was missing at this feast that was at the other feast, and it was this. They had wine. The other feast had wine. This one did not. Now, you've got to trust me, or you've got to read the background with me, or you would never know that. I'll explain to you in a few minutes why. And so we look at the privilege she enjoyed, and notice it was an exalted position. It was a position she enjoyed. It was one she reveled in. She welcomed the opportunity to share the good things she had in the castle, in the palace, with others. I don't know whether her family was invited to the banquet or not, but I know one thing, that this was a banquet fit for a queen. That's a little bit of the background of Vashti. But there was something else about this woman that made her a lady. We are not told. We see her character coming out under pressure. We see her principle coming to the fore when she was severely tried and tested by the king. This is what I want you to consider with me. Consider with me, if you please, the challenge of her standards or the challenge of her principles. I want to suggest to you that because of her action when the king sent to have her come to parade before the rest of the men, that Vashti had prepared herself for a moment like this. The challenge that she faced at this point could not be dealt with on the spur of the moment. Just look at it, if you please, with me. The king sent 7 men. As I was studying this, I thought, this must have been a strong-willed woman. He sent 7 men to go and tell her what he wanted. I don't believe that she was that. Just the king, whenever he said, go, these men went. He didn't send to ask if she would come. He didn't send to request. He ordered her. I want you to come because I have an idea. Now remember that it had been 7 days and 7 nights that they had been reveling this way. Now I have never been drunk in my life. I have seen people who have been. Very personally, I've seen it. I've seen my own father who died from it. And I know that it didn't take him 7 days and seven nights to get, I was going to say to get high. Well, I'm going to use the word inebriated later on, but that is true, inebriated. 7 days and seven nights. I remember the first time I got this close to drinking, this close. We used to drink a drink called stout. It was supposed to be medicine, but you take enough of that stuff and it passes medicine. And I had one pint, and then I had two pints, and then I had three pints, and all of a sudden I started to feel like I've never felt before. I found myself going to a little room quite regularly. And I remember my friend saying to me at that time, "Come on, Winston, you chicken." I mean, the pressure was on. The only thing I knew is that I saw the way my father treated my mother because of wine, and I didn't want it. And so I said no. And I've almost given myself the thought, I wonder what would have happened if I had taken the challenge there. Perhaps I wouldn't be speaking here this morning. So he sent and he said, "I want you to come. I want you." The theologians differ as to what is meant by what he said to her. Some feel that he wanted her to come and parade herself, not simply her beauty, to wear almost nothing. You see, whenever a man goes beyond the sense of his own dignity and his humanity, he wants everyone else to lose theirs. Whenever he loses his sense of responsibility, he becomes irresponsible with those around him. The interesting thing I find with this is that we might think that this is a pagan king and therefore we would expect that. But let me tell you, my friends, Josh McDowell has taken a survey among young men who attend church. And he found that some of the same behavior with church young men exist as exist outside the church, or vice versa. We shouldn't think of this as because he was a pagan king, this is how they behave. Young men in churches, some young men I should say, in churches behave the same way with young women. All they could think about is what they want to fulfill in their imagination or their minds. He wanted the queen to come and to parade her beauty before these kings, before these officials. He wanted his wife to become an imaginary plaything for the minds of those who would go back and take that imagination with them, because that's the way men think, and they will live with that, they will fantasize with that at the expense of his wife. Can you imagine that? But that's what happens when a man loses his own dignity. He wants someone else to lose theirs. He loses his sense of discernment. In Proverbs 31, we're told that a mother speaks to her son, and she said, "Listen, Lemuel, it is not for kings to be inebriated." There's my word. "It is not for kings to get high on wine when it is red." Because he loses his judgment. He loses his ability to care for others. And oh my, I can tell you about that. Chuck Swindoll says this: "His heart was in a state of drunken excess that led to debauchery. And while in an inebriated state, he decided to show off another as his prize. Because the king always gets what he wants, I want you to see what I have gained. I want you to see what prize I have to show you. Marriage does not give a husband the rights or the license to fulfill his base desires to use his wife as a sex object." Joseph Parker said something else. "When a man's heart is merry with wine, all that is sacred in his humanness goes out of him. All that is sacred goes out of him. I can give members frustration, but time's going. So we look and we see the challenge to her principle. She was challenged by someone who was close to her. She was challenged by someone who was supposed to protect her. She was challenged by someone who was supposed to care for her. And look at what happens. He was asking her to go beyond her dignity to satisfy his passion for power and the lust of those who were there. Now look at the courage. Look at the courage of her principle. This is a very interesting word because Vashti simply said, no. That's it. The same word is used in Genesis chapter 39, verse 8, where Joseph was asked on the other side by a woman to go to bed with him, with her, and he said, no. Let me suggest to you this, ladies and gentlemen, that we do not make moral judgment to our benefit when we're being tried morally. We have to make those moral judgments long before we're tried, so that when we're tried, we know where our strength lies. We know what to do in the hour of temptation because we have prepared ourselves for the hour of temptation. Now, I don't know the religious background of Vashti, except that she was, if you please, someone who was born in a pagan environment, but she had some standards. She had some standards. And she said, no. Someone has said that the secret of strength of character lies not only in the readiness to receive and choose the good. The secret of the strength of my character lies not only in the readiness to receive and choose the good, but in the power to reject the evil. In the power to reject the evil. Who you are does not prove to be present when everything is going well. Who you are proves itself when you are being tried to do just the opposite. And so you see the courage of her standards, the courage of her principle. In the face of her own husband and hundreds of men, she said, no. Dr. Howard Hendricks used to say to his students at Dallas, students learn to say no once a day just to keep in practice. And we need to do that. And I'm speaking mostly to the ladies this morning because that's the one I've chosen to share with you. And so quickly, let's look at the penalty she encountered. The penalty she encountered. Esther chapter 1, verses 12 to 22. And chapter 2, verse 1. Let me suggest this, that there is a price to be paid for keeping your standards. There's a price to be paid for keeping your standards. We're going to look at them very briefly this morning. The first price she paid was the indignation because of her standards. The king became angry. And you will find that when you stick to your principles, when you stick to your guns, as it were, when you stand up for the principles you have established before God through his word and in prayer, you will make your observers angry, especially if they want you to participate in what they are participating in. There's something interesting about this. Why should he be angry when she was preserving herself only for him? Why should he be angry When she didn't want anybody else to know her as he did? Just think, if she had paraded herself in front of all those men, each man would take back to his place an image of Vashti wherever they went. And you can use your own imaginations with this. Her decision, my friends, had to do not only to protect herself, but she was strong enough to protect the marriage, to protect the home. And I just want to say, just briefly, My wife works, so I'm not talking about working mothers, but I'm going to tell you that women face more temptation today working out of the home than in the days when mothers used to stay home. There are lots of things that women never faced before, and they need to be strong as they go out into the workplace and get with people who do not have the same kind of principles, the same kind of standards that they take into the workplace. Her beauty was her own and her husband. It was not for an open show among hundreds of half-drunken men, said Alexander White. She knew the risk. She knew the risk of her refusal. But she was no fool who was going to give up what she cannot keep to gain what she could not lose. She couldn't keep these things forever, but she could keep her dignity forever. So the first penalty she paid was the indignation of her husband. Secondly, the interpretation of her actions. The interpretation of her actions. Listen to what they said in verse 16. The queen has wronged the king. Now that word wrong is a very interesting word, because you know what it means? It means that she has undermined the king. It means that she actually became sinful in her action. The motivation behind her action was a sinful heart, a heart that was full of iniquity. That's all that's contained in that word to be wrong. The interpretation of her action was seen as selfish, sinful, and dangerous. I don't know of anything that is more difficult than to have your motives judged by those who don't know your motives. But she stood in the face of it, and she stood her grounds. No amount of indignation could make her change her principle. Thirdly, the influence of her actions. The influence of her actions. Look at 17:18. The actions would cause all the men of the nations to lose their power, to lose their control. Look at what's going to happen. If all the women of the nations begin to know that Vashti stood up for principles, just imagine, husbands will have no more control. Husbands will not be able to demonstrate their power and the excess of that inside the home or out of their home. We've got to do something. And listen, friends, let me suggest something to you. Ladies as well as men, whenever you stand up for your principles, whenever someone misinterprets your principles, they will soon begin to develop a law to control your principles. That's human nature. And whenever we lose the life, the rule book gets thicker. It does. They began to think all kinds of things about this woman. I read something about the measure for measure. Beautiful Isabella was tempted to procure the release of her brother who had been sentenced to death. The price to get her brother's release from death was her virtue. She said no. No. Then your brother will die. Then your brother will die. Listen to her response. Better it were for a brother to die at once than a sister by redeeming him should die forever. For my brother to die is one thing. He alone will die. But if I sell myself to release him, not only will I die, but many others will die. The very action speaks of death. Fourthly, I call this the divine eminence in her action. The word eminence simply means to be near. Little did she realize that her action was being observed by God. And may I say this to you, young ladies, if I may? Your stance when someone wants to test you concerning your virtue your stance. Number one, it is not an option. It is not an option. Number two, nobody really cares for you who wants you to prove that option. Nobody cares for you. When someone cares for you in that way, they protect and they preserve and they stand between you and anything that would undermine your virtue. And when you make such a stand on the authority of God's word, I want to say to you that God is watching and he will reward it. Look at chapter 2 very quickly. Very, very quickly. I can't go into all that is here. This is what it says. Chapter 2, verse 1. After these things, the king remembered who? Vashti. After these things, what things? A number of things went through his mind. He was now sober, and now he says, I have given up the very best because in my moment of debauchery, I made the wrong decision. And he remembered Vashti. But there was a divine eminence. God was watching over this whole situation. And a whole nation was out there. A whole nation was out there to be delivered. And how was that nation delivered? That nation was delivered because Vashti stood to her principles. And I'm suggesting to you that you never know how God is going to use you when you stand firm on the principles of your own virtue, the principles of your own commitment and standards. I close with a very personal illustration. The family I lived with in Alberta, godly family, at the time he was working for a very, very, very big nationwide insurance company. At the company dance, or the company Christmas party, the president of the company became extremely drunk and was going from woman to woman to woman. And he came to the wife of whom I am speaking, with whom I was living with the family. He came to her, and she looked in his face and said, I would prefer that you do not touch me. I would prefer that you do not touch me. The husband, hearing this, thought, I wonder what my boss is going to do tomorrow when I go to work that my wife stood up to him and said, no, don't touch me. The next morning, at 10 o'clock, the car was coming into the driveway. Dick was sent from the president with a personal apology from the president of the company because of his behavior the night before. You never stand for principles that you get from God that God will not protect you when you stand for them.
amazed to know that a God so great could love me so, is willing and wanting to bless. Your love is so wonderful, your mercy so bountiful, I can't understand it. I
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit make you perfect unto every good work to do his will, now and until Jesus Christ comes, and then forevermore. Amen.